I picked up a guitar in sixth grade. You know, I was like, this could be cool to pick up and enjoy. I like music, and, you know, guitar is the instrument that the ladies seem to like the most. If you can sing and play guitar, the ladies are normally interested.
Welcome to Story and Craft. Now, here's your host, Mark Preston.
Hey, welcome back. How are you? Glad to have you back for another episode of Story and Craft. I hope your week is going great so far. And just in case you're listening to this during the weekend, hopefully you're doing something fun, relaxing, walking the dog, hanging out by the pool, exercising, whatever. Thanks a lot for bringing Story and Craft with you. And just in case you're brand new to the show, my name is Mark Preston. Thank you very much for checking it out. This episode, really cool. Warren Ziders, a new country music artist. He's only 22 years old. And his story, very cool. He started off in kind of an unconventional way. You know, during the pandemic, we were all given, a lot of us were given a lot of time to do something creative, or we just had more time on our hands. Warren took that time to take his, you know, his love of playing the guitar and decided to start putting cover songs out on TikTok and Instagram. And before you know it, he's got like millions of views. 2 years later, he's got a record deal and over 300 million combined streams and views and a brand new album, 717 Tapes. So I'm enjoying the opportunity to bring this story to you because even if you're not really big into country music, this is a kind of a cool story about how things are different. Now, you know, getting a record deal, you know, getting out there, getting people to listen to you, kind of different from when I was coming up. Artists had a different path to becoming well-known. Now, if you're a big country music fan, check him out on Spotify or wherever you listen to music. And of course, if you go to storyandcraftpod.com, you can check out all of his social media links. Kind of a big deal considering he got started on social media. We've got the TikTok and Instagram, got his website as well. And of course, you want to find out more about the show, storyandcraftpod.com. Find out my social media links, send me a message. Also, send me a voicemail. You can actually do that through storyandcraftpod.com. And also, you can sign up for the newsletter and just kind of stay up to speed on whatever we got going on here at Story and Craft. So let's get after it. Today, it is Warren Ziders Day right here on Story and Craft. Hey, I like your hat, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry, I'm traveling today.
You know, no worry. If you're traveling, that probably means you're working. If you're working, you're probably having some fun. So that's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Now, you're a Pennsylvania guy. Are you still in Pennsylvania, or have you made the move to Nashville?
Back and forth between Pennsylvania and Nashville. But speaking of Pennsylvania, that's where the 717 comes from. So that's my area code. So people think it's 717 or 717. But the 717's where I grew up.
I was going to ask where that came from, so thank you for beating me to the punch on that one. That's really cool. Man, congratulations. I got so many questions for you today, because you're kind of one of the first music acts, artists that I've had an opportunity to speak with that has kind of come up in this new era. Well, I mean, for your generation. God, it sounded old just then. Well, yeah, for your generation, for your generations, you know, with TikTok and Instagram and all that. And, you know, back in the day when I was working, when I worked on the radio years ago, man, you didn't have the access to the social media thing that just kind of makes life a little easier. And I actually think it makes the opportunity for newer acts to show up on the scene and kind of get noticed, and TikTok worked out well for you, didn't it?
It did. You know, I think personally myself, I wouldn't go the route of saying easier, so to speak. I think we have more access to a lot of people by our fingertips.
Yeah, accessibility. Yeah, that's definitely
accessibility.
Absolutely, accessibility. Yeah,
I think accessibility, and I think the outreach is undeniable. By the click of a button, you have the chance to reach millions. And I think that there's a lot of beauty in that. And it's given a lot of artists like myself a chance and a voice to touch on that, really. You have that accessibility, but it's not easy, though, so to speak, because I think that it does take hard work. There's a lot of thought process into everything.
Definitely. There's where I probably misspoke. Yeah, when I said that it was easy, nothing's ever easy, especially.
No, you're good. You're good.
Especially for like comics on the road or people musicians getting rolling. To say there's a lot of hustle involved is an understatement. But I think what's amazing is that for this era, if you got the skills, you got the chops, talent, desire, man, the ability for you to carve out your own space is kind of there. But now I'm going to be honest, this is no snobbery at all. This is actually admiration for the folks of Pennsylvania. Me being from Texas, of course I recognize Nashville, another country hub, and done other parts of Mississippi and Alabama. I never thought of Pennsylvania as being a real hotbed for country. You're sort of kind of like an ambassador now, and many of us is like, oh, really? Pennsylvania's got a country scene. Was that your genre growing up? Is it what you were listening to? Is it what was always on the radio? Was country always your thing?
You know, it's funny because my first time down to Nashville, a lot of people asked the question, to put it this way, where the hell did you find a country boy from Pennsylvania? And I'm like, okay, country doesn't just exist down in the South, in Texas, in Nashville, and all these places. There's country everywhere you go, and you can find it anywhere. And I think that, you know, having those conversations, it's funny because people think of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, but I'm like, outside of that, it's nothing but country land and us doing some redneck stuff growing up my entire life. So yes, to answer your question, country music was a huge part of my life growing up. It's what my grandparents listened to. It's what my mom had in the house. But also on top of that, I grew up in church, so I listen to a lot of Christian music. So I touch on a lot of that in my song lyrics and stuff too when I'm writing my music. And also my dad was a huge rock and roll guy.
Like Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks is a big inspiration. I think it's Kiss, when I look at people that enjoy country, it's not just that they're living the lifestyle. It's just that something resonates with them. And I think that my daughter Emma, who's 16, who is, I'm sure she wishes she was here right now so she can meet you. She is the only one of my kids. She loves country. I mean, she's very much a city girl. The only one, I think, in her friend group is really big into country. The thing about it is it's almost like an aspirational thing. It's stories. The lyrics, are they yours for the most part? Are you collaborating with somebody on the songwriting?
Yeah, so I do a lot of co-writes, and I think that's when I do my best work because I'm working with really talented people. But also, I'm a huge extrovert, and I love working with people. And I think that, whether it's my idea when I come to the write, or if they have an idea and I resonate with it, I said, this is definitely something that I want to touch on or talk about, whether it's a verse that they have, or if it's just a song title. And I'm like, that's definitely something that I think that I should be, putting out there for my fans to hear. I kind of like what you said about the whole country thing. And Garth Brooks is, I guess, influence, you said, was Kiss. I think that it's funny because you said your daughter's kind of a city girl and she's a country fan. I think that the thing for me really finding out, kind of getting to this whole scene, there's a lot of love, there's a lot of hate, everyone's got their own opinions and everything like that, and on how they view the whole country scene. And more or less for me, one of my favorite comments that I get on my videos and people who talk about my music is, it's a lot of people who say that they're not even country fans, they just kind of like my music. And I think it's cool because I'm able to dabble in these markets and find these people who might have not been once country fans, but now they're kind of interested. And I think there's a lot of beauty to that, to just show people a new genre and kind of bring them into a new type of music, a new style.
The songs, on the 717 tapes, and I like the fact you use the word tapes. The irony is you certainly didn't grow up in that era with cassette tapes, thank you for tipping the hat to us old people. When you're sitting down writing the songs, I have always been curious, is it the lyric? Or is it the melody that you come up with that really is the genesis of the song? You know what I mean? Is it the story you're coming up with, or are you just there kind of noodling on the guitar and going, I got a song idea now?
So to touch on the 717 tapes and a fun story. So Ride the Lightning was only the second song I've ever written in my life. And I was my first time being in Nashville. It was a co-write. It was over Zoom, and it was with Eric Pasley and Rob Crosby. And Eric Pasley was someone who I really looked up to. I loved a lot of his music as an artist, and I know he's done really great work writing for others as well. So there was definitely some nerves there going into that position as the newbie in town, you know, it being your first time. I think for me, I think a melody speaks a lot to me too. And, you know, I have a lot of rock and roll influence in my music. And, you know, I kind of like those more gritty, darker kind of melodies, so to speak, the darker chords, the more minor chords. So whether it's a melody or it's a song title, but I don't want to take credit for it because I love to give credit where credit's due. I can't remember if it was Eric or Rob, but someone threw out the song title Ride the Lightning. And I was like, that's a really cool idea. And what we did was we piggybacked that idea off of the first song I wrote and recorded in my bedroom, On the Run. So if you listen to that song yet too, or if you listen to the lyrics, it's kind of my version of a murder ballad in a sense. But, you know, that song, Ride the Lightning, has transcended so much off of a simple line. Mama always said I was born on the wild side because, you know, I was a daredevil growing up. I never knew my limits. I was always getting hurt, whether it was broken collarbones, broken arms, you know, falling out of trees and getting impaled by sticks. Like, I've had my fair share of injuries, but, you know, I grew up just doing a bunch of crazy and dumb. Yeah.
What was the kind of the track you're on, or was it like, okay, I'm going to do music? Is that something that was always on your mind, or was it just like, yeah, this is something I do for fun? Or was this something that you decided is like, okay, this is not just for fun. This is going to be a passion. I want to see where I can take this thing.
To answer that question. So like I said, I did grow up in church. That's kind of where I found my love for music. I was never in the church band, never in the church choir. I just merely had a love for singing in the church pews. And that's kind of where I found my love of, that's how I really connected with my faith. And then it started to sprinkle into other things in my life that I found, whether it was Christian music or rock and roll, I really found that music allowed me to feel a lot of things. And that's how I connected with a lot of things. So my entire life, I was an athlete. So I played lacrosse for 12 years. I ended up going to college to play. But before that, I'd picked up a guitar in sixth grade. And it was something that I just kind of, you know, I was like, this could be cool to, you know, pick up and enjoy. I like music, and, you know, guitar is the instrument that the ladies seem to like the most. If you can sing and play guitar, the ladies are normally interested. So I went the guitar player route, and it was something I did on the side, learned how to play through YouTube and stuff when I had a chance, because I played lacrosse all year round. And I was fully committed to my sports. Fast forward, my freshman year of college, I had two concussions. So I had some really, some thinking to do, because that ended up being my seventh total over the span of 12 years. So I had some serious
injuries. You've had seven concussions?
Yeah, not all major, but...
You've just been born to make your mother worry, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I've been beaten. I've been bruised pretty good from playing lacrosse. But you know, everything happens for a reason. I believe in it. So fast forward, COVID comes around, and I had just given up something that I pretty much identified with. I did it for so long that it became a part of myself. And I was kind of like, okay, so what's the next step for me in life? And COVID comes and we all like, we can't do anything. We can't go anywhere. So I started to go back to the guitar, and singing, which I was always doing, just never really putting myself out there. And I just was, you know, one day I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll start throwing some stuff up on, you know, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube just for fun, just to, you know, kind of do something, kind of connect with people. So I did that, and little did I know that it would lead to this a year later.
Let me go and stop you right there. That the fact you said a year later, it's a trip, because I'm gonna go back to my radio days, man. I remember when people, man, the hustle, man, going radio station to radio station to radio station. The artists who were trying to get airplay, and it could be a beatdown. You don't know what city you're in sometimes, mm-hmm. and this is going on for a long time. But you're saying a year. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good example of like cream can rise to the top in this era with social media in a way that it never has been able to before. And I think that's very cool. And I'm not just saying that because you're with me, of course, right now, but listening to your album, everything, man, everything I'm going through, I'm like, man, it's got a little different vibe. It's got a little different story. It's rare that I listen to an artist and go, wow, okay, I want to know what else they're up to, you know. Was your family musical at all? What are your people's background as far as, you know, your parents' vocation and stuff like that?
No musical background whatsoever, my friend. I think that no one was ever really a singer. My dad could carry a semi-tune, I guess, singing in church, but there was no one ever who played instruments, no grandparents. Actually, no, that's a lie. My grandfather played bass guitar, but no one was ever, no one was ever pushing music onto me in the sense of, oh, hey, you know, I played guitar. I did this. Like, you know, you want to try it out? It was just kind of something that I found on my own. And, you know, I believe it. Good Lord had a plan. And here we are today. It's crazy. It really is.
What kind of work did your dad do, or your folks do?
So actually, I grew up in the business world. So my parents had two restaurants as I was growing up. My dad had apartments. My dad sold investments my early childhood. My mom's a CPA, so she's now a CFO. So she works as a CFO now. Just recently changed corporations a year or two ago, and then now my dad for the last 14 years has been running car dealerships. So,
oh, really? I have that in common. Yeah. My father did the same thing. Yeah.
And I grew up in this world of seeing just every single day businesses, and just kind of learning the lingo and just, you know, all this stuff that, you know, it's not easy running a business, so to speak. It's a lot of work and, you know, being an entrepreneur and stuff like that and putting yourself out there. But a lot of, if it wasn't for my parents and, you know, my upbringing and everything that they taught me growing up, I wouldn't be the man I am today. And my grandfather too, he was always a huge, I'm very fortunate, and it's been awesome for me to grow up in a world where I've had really awesome male role models in my life who've really supported me and, you know, pushed me forward in this life. Whether it means how to be a better man and just, you know, in today's world and stuff. But my grandfather growing up, you know, my mother and, you know, my aunts didn't really have a lot growing up, but my grandfather was constantly on the road working three jobs. He was gone all week. He'd be lucky if he got a chance to come home on the weekends to, you know, see my mother and my aunts. And I think that hearing those stories and even seeing how hard he worked as I was growing up as an early child, I was always with him, whether we were working in the garage together or projects and, you know, outside hunting and all this kind of stuff. I think that seeing all those things really formed me into, you know, the way I see the world and everything today.
But, you know, I did notice, speaking of your grandfather, I had such a wonderful relationship with mine as well. It sounds like you're really a spot on young man when it comes to, okay, 22, I'm saying young man, I'm not that old. You know, I realized that kind of in the moment, kind of like you did, it's important to soak that up, like right now, because you miss it when you don't have it. So it's great that you've got those inspirations, those people around you. And it's showing up in your music. And I think that's the beauty of country when it comes to lyrics. You really can pull from your own life. 717 tapes, man, that's, I don't know if I've actually, I think I've gone through the whole album. Do you have anything new coming out? Because, you know, now you got me hungry, man. What's coming up soon?
So I don't know if you saw it, but I just had the 717 tapes volume 2 drop last week. So I have a volume 2 out now with with one of my favorite songs that I've put out so far. It's called Wild Horse. And that song's been, it's been really cool to see how my fans have connected with that song.
So you started playing and putting stuff on TikTok. And where were the people that were starting to follow you, did you notice any trends? Mm-hmm. Like, where were people coming from that started adding up to? Dude, it's like over a million people or something like that. Am I correct? That's just like so heady. I can't get my head around the fact that, you know, if I'm doing anything with my phone that a million people see, you know. What was the on-ramp for people to kind of get to really start getting into you? Or did you notice that whenever a new song came out?
The on-ramp, the short version of it is I was posting covers on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and stuff, and they were only 15-30 second snippets, and I was just doing it for fun in my, you know, back half of my junior year of college, and then leading into my summer, and then, you know, my senior year of college, figuring out what I want to do with my life. And I was just posting covers of stuff that I was learning and stuff that I was listening to and really resonating with. It wasn't until my followers turned into fans, and they were like, hey, this is cool and all, but we don't just want 15-30 second snippets. We want full versions of your covers. We want original music.
I mean, were they saying that, like, to you, or were they sending you notes and saying, we want more? Oh, okay. So they were really interactive with you and telling you what they wanted to hear, right?
The biggest thing I could say right now that any artist should take away, and it's so simple, listen to your fan base. It's as clear as day, more than ever. Listen to what they have to say, because my fans really guided me on this last year of, I'll call it a journey, because it has been one. And, you know, I listened to what they wanted from me. So when they were like, hey, we want this. So I went ahead. I went to Guitar Center one night, grabbed two microphones, an interface, had no idea what I was doing. I plugged stuff in. I was putting pillows and towels around in my room and soundproofing the room. And I did my whole acoustic cover album in my bedroom, and they were all one takes, no editing, nothing. It was just me singing and playing guitar.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
With that setup, man, I was going to ask you, for somebody who has a recording studio here, that actually was a question. I was curious about the gear setup. You know, what was your choice? You know, just out of curiosity, there are a good handful of people listening to my show that are a little bit of gearheads. Mike, the interface, what did you originally start with, and what are you using now for your home setup?
So I, again, for a guy who was in college and was trying to figure out what he was going to be doing with his life after he graduated, I didn't really have, again, I didn't have the knowledge of what equipment to buy, what gear to use. I just kind of looked up some stuff and was like, okay, cool. So I went to Guitar Center, and the dude there was like, hey, SM7B, this is something that people like to use. You want to try it out? I was like, cool. So I got that. I don't know what the other mic was. It was another another Shure mic that I used to mic my guitar. And then I used a Focusrite. So that's what I did. And I had two mics. That was it. I used Ableton Live. Press record, and it was all one takes, no editing. I didn't know how to do clips or do, hey, sing this verse numerous times. It was all unedited, just super raw.
There's so many people, I'm sure, listening going, damn you. You know, because, you know, you're not picking up the most expensive stuff. It's very democratized. You pick up the gear, just what you needed to make it happen. Now, the question is, what have you done as far as upgrades now? Something tells me you've kind of upgraded your setup a little bit. What are you using now?
So now I don't really have a home studio now. I'm normally spending time with producers and stuff like that, and whether it's in a studio or it's in their home studio, I still have the same setup I have at home. If I'm doing work tapes or demos that I want to do. But for me, here's another fun story that people might want to say, damn you. Ride the Lightning was recorded at a place called Sound Emporium down in Nashville. And I think I did three vocal passes and three guitar takes. And then my manager and I didn't really know what to do, because I was still super new and I was trying to figure things out. We used the $10 mastering online and just did that and just shipped it out. And that song has become what it is today, which is,
That's awesome.
Makes me chuckle because good Lord's got a plan.
Now, the other question I got for you, let's go back because you did mention something. I'm not going to let you get away with it, but you said that the girls like the guitar. Now, how much of a trip is it that you're doing this now and you're on a stage and you got a lot of people just loving on you, that they've been seeing you online. Now, how many pinch, you got to pinch yourself moments are you going through on a daily basis?
You know what's funny is I did this, picked up a guitar in sixth grade for the ladies, but 70% of my demographics is males listening to my music. So I've really captured the male demographic, and I think it's all because of my message. I think a lot of it is the type of music I make, and you know, I'm gonna still make the music that I make, but it's been funny to see how much it's resonated with, I like to call it brotherly love. You know, I got a lot of the gents.
Yeah, like I said, I picked out notes in your lyrics that make so much sense. Thing is, it's kind of timeless themes, you know, relationships, things like that to the people that influence you. And it's, like I said, lyrically, man, I love what you're doing, man. I told my daughter Emma that I was speaking with you, and then, you know, so we immediately put on a song in the car, and then and yesterday's when I went through the album, and I was like, spot on, my friend, spot on. Now, I want to know who was influencing you, though, musically, country-wise, and just in general, when you were a kid coming up, what bands or acts were you digging on?
So, you know, the first ever concert that I ever experienced in my life, which I'll remember forever, I went with my dad, and we went to go see Jeremy Camp, who was someone, a Christian artist who I grew up listening to a lot, and Toby Mac, so two artists that were playing a lot in my house, so Christian music was a huge influence for me. Rock and roll wise, as you can probably tell, I do have a lot of rock influence in my music. I was a huge Motley Crue, AC/DC, Quiet Riot, Skid Row. Kiss was one of them. I mean, I could go on and on. You know, I loved rock and roll.
There's a lot of guys of a certain age or close to my age. You're like, all right. You know, guys giving a nod to the hair bands and some of the guys who are, you know, of that era. I can hear some of it too in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward to now, who are you listening to? Is when you got your Spotify playlist locked in? Who do you dig on right now?
Yeah, and you know, I didn't touch on it too, but like Hank Williams Jr., John Denver was a huge one. My mom went to West Virginia, so I swear to God, I've heard Country Roads over a zillion times. And you know, Cash and all those boys, I just have so many influences, but honestly, a lot of modern day influence too. To tip my hat to the people, like you said, who are in my playlists, I'm a huge Morgan Wallen fan. I love what he's done with the I love what he's done with the genre and what he does in his own way, in his own realm of country music. Huge Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan, Coe Wetzel, Parker McCollum, you know, those Texas cats, you know, the list goes on, and I draw from so many aspects to modern day punk rock. You know, there's some dudes who are coming up who I'm a huge, you know, huge fan of as well, in that scene. I just, to put it simply, I'm in country music because I love country music, but I love music as a whole.
I think Morgan Wallen is, you know, you mentioned that, and it's my daughter is going to just jump up and down for joy. Well, she never really jumps up and down for joy. The closest she gets to it is like, hey, cool. You know, now right now you're on tour, and I saw that all your 2022 dates are sold out. I mean, this is your first tour, man. You're already selling it out. That is bonkers, man. So what is that like for you now, being on tour where you were in your bedroom? Now you're on a stage with spotlights. You got everything wired up. And now you are a bona fide country performer. How does that feel when you're on stage?
So, you know, so the way we set up this first tour that I'm doing, we wanted to go play these smaller club rooms, and we wanted to make this a very coming off the screen from what I built online to making this really personal atmosphere with my fans, whether it's a 300 seat room or whether it's a 400 and 500. And, you know, my first show was a 700 cap room. you know, that feeling, and I'm actually not mic'd up yet. So we're using wedges and stuff like that. And it's just me and a guitar player. We're just going out there on the road, two acoustic guitars, and it's been awesome to see. And we're pretty much putting on a rock concert with two acoustic guitars, and people are screaming every single song back to me, which is such an indescribable feeling. You know, I had a lot of nerves. Finally, you know, it became real for me. You see the numbers on the phone, you see all this stuff, you see how people are connecting and the streams and stuff, and it's amazing to see. But that moment I stepped on stage for the first time, that's when I knew I was born for doing this. I was meant to do this.
I'm curious, what surprised you, you know, from going from doing what you were doing, you're streaming your music, and now you're here. Now you've got a record deal. I mean, this is wonderful for you, man. And I want to say congratulations. I know how good it's got to feel. But what was something that did surprise you about, you know, now this is not just you in your bedroom. Now this is you making an in-person connection with fans and stuff. Anything surprise you or, like, you know, take you by surprise at all?
I think for me, one of the big surprises is I do a meet and greet after my shows, and completely free. I want to do it, and I'll some nights meet 300, 400, 500 fans who hang around and do the meet and greet. I think a big surprise for me is standing in that line and meeting these people who have followed me from before I even put out my first song, who were like there from day one, and they're like, hey man, I knew this was going to happen. I knew you had something early on. And they just had followed this entire time before they knew it, before I did. And I think that there's a lot of beauty in that, that these people saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself when I was just doing it, you know, for fun, really. Obviously, I still have fun doing it. I think another thing is hearing the stories of how people have connected with my songs and how much it's been amazing to hear how my music has helped soldiers come back from war and deal with their PTSD and, you know, making sure that I give them all the love in the world and thank you for your service. Thank you for everything that you do to allow me to live in a country like this and make the music that I make. It's hearing the stories of how one day I was in my bedroom learning how to play some songs for fun, to now making music that I love and hang my hat on. And it's giving people an outlet and something to connect with and resonate with and help in aspects of their life that I never could have imagined.
Well, I do think it's that social media thing that gives people that access to you to be able to give that immediate feedback. So like you said before, listen to what they have to say. And now you are, you know, you're responding, and now do you find yourself, when you are in that hotel, you are on the road, are you writing stuff right now, or are you just kind of are you writing and creating, or are you just kind of focusing on what you're doing right now and getting your current library out there?
I am focusing on what I'm doing at the moment, and when I get an opportunity, I've kind of backburnered writing for a little bit because I am on the road, and I'm trying to focus on this aspect of what I'm doing right now. But I have written a lot this last year of music that needs some touch up, needs some things for me to, you know, reflect back on if there's things I need to change. But I got a lot of fun things in the works that'll be coming out soon. And, you know, I'm excited for what's to come.
Well, the question is, what do your folks think about it now? Now they're going from like their lacrosse playing kid who's dorking around with his guitar in his room. Now he got a son who's on tour and a record deal and everything. What do your folks think about this?
My parents were completely confused very early on because at first it was numbers on a screen and they didn't understand it either. And it was, you know, that's cool. Like, okay, so you got some people following you. You got some people viewing your videos. My parents are the most supportive people. Actually, my parents have been to every single show I've played. They've traveled to every single show, and they're actually selling my merch right now.
So your parents are selling your merchandise. That is well, you do have two parents that are business people, so you know they got that whole angle going on. Now, do you have any siblings, or are you the only child there?
I have a younger sister who's following more in my mother's footsteps, and she's at school in college for accounting.
Oh, okay. So what does she think about having the brother who's doing this thing now?
She's got a love-hate relationship with it. I was always the extrovert growing up, so I always did most of the talking. She was always more of the quiet one. So it's been a little bit, she's not a big fan of people coming up to her and saying, hey, she doesn't want the attention. She doesn't like when people come up to her like, hey, you're Warren Zeider, are you Warren Zeider's sister? And that whole fun thing. But I think she's happy for me.
You know, that's got to be such a weird feeling for, like, you know, family. Suddenly now, especially in this era of social media where somebody can just, like, take off, like what you've done, is go from something just, you know, numbers on a phone to now you're, like, on tour, you know. Do you have any dream venues somewhere you really want to play? Like, because you said these are smaller venues. It's acoustic mostly. If you could play anywhere, what kind of, you know.
A huge place for me that I want to play, I would say hometown. Hershey Park Stadium. I think it'll be a really full circle moment for me to play that venue one day, just because of, you know, being, I went to go watch high school football games there growing up, going to Hershey High School. I spent so much time going to Hershey Park growing up. I think there's a lot of history there for me, and I think that it'll be a cool experience for me to go back there one day and, you know, play that venue.
Going home, man, that's always a big deal. Now you got people who watched you, you know, online. Now they're coming to concerts. What's something that people want to know about you? Maybe let's say a top question you get asked, or, you know, something people try to pick your brain on, that both in the comments and the and in person.
When's more music coming? people want an album. They want it. They want more from me.
Apparently, I did the same thing, or asked the same thing. Now, what was it like when you first heard your song? I say radio because that used to be a big deal. You know, when you first hear your song on the radio, now it's like my kids are all about, you know, Spotify and all that, and TikTok, obviously. But what was that like for you the first time you heard your song played under a record label and it's out there? What was that feeling like for you?
I think that it was an awesome feeling, and, you know, to touch on it, I have this mindset of an athlete. I'm sure there's other people out there that have it too. And, you know, I've talked to some people who think that, like Riley Green, for example, he was an athlete. And I'm sure, I think Chase Rice, there's some other people, you know, I have a very certain mindset about the way I view what I do. And it's all because of, whether it's discipline, it's drive, it's, you know, I have all these things inside of me that sports all led to in this moment. And, you know, hearing it, it was awesome. But there was also this feeling of like, okay, I got this. How can I show them that I deserve to continue to be put on here? What's the next song that I can, you know, I take the wins. One of my favorite sayings that I have is happy, but not satisfied, because and that's something about, if you haven't heard my new song yet, Wild Horse, I talk about chasing a wild horse. And the concept of that song is, you know, is always chasing your dreams, but never being fully fulfilled, because there's always things for us to develop and grow in our lives and be put into uncomfortable situations. And I think a lot of my life this last year, I have been put into uncomfortable situations, but I like that because, again, I went from someone who was learning how to play covers in his bedroom to now full-fledged on a tour, like you said, record label, all this stuff. And, you know, I've taken the bull by the horns, and I've taken this life, and, you know, I'm like, you only get one time around on this world, so I'm just gonna go for it. And, you know, I've taken every opportunity I could get, and make the best I could of it. And we'll continue
to do
so. You said
it was happy but not satisfied, right? It's happy but not satisfied?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I got that. I like that. But Warren, what I want to do, man, I'm just kind of wrapping up with you here, you know, because I know you're on the road. I have what I call my seven questions. I always ask everybody the same questions. A little bit extra insight, kind of one of those get to know you kind of things. Number one, what is your favorite comfort food? That thing that if you're out on the road, kind of brings you back to your center. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I don't even know, but I'll go. This is going to be my answer. A good burger. Burgers are always my thing. A good burger will put me won't make me hangry. It'll put me in a good mood. Put me in a good place.
Funny you brought that up. I'm somebody, it's a thought that burgers are not meant to be fancy. The same way pizza is not meant to be. It's just a good off the grill, somebody cooking on charcoal, man. It's a backyard burger will beat out most restaurant burgers in my book. Now, if you could sit down with three people, you're going to sit down for a cup of coffee, beer, whatever have you. Who would three people be that you'd want to hang out with for a few hours and just kind of talk story with?
I think my grandfather, who I never got to meet, because I've heard so many stories about how my dad and him had a relationship, and I think I owe a lot to him for raising my dad right. I think him and my dad would be two of them. I don't know who a third one would be, because I think I would just love that experience to sit down, at least with those two, to just talk about, you know, how my dad was raised, and, you know, hear his side of the things and stories and stuff like that. I think that would be a really cool experience for me to learn a lot about the grandfather I never got to meet.
That's everybody's a little bit different, and I think sometimes it comes back to family. It's like you wanna know your DNA a little bit better. You know, absolutely. Now going back in time, or even currently, who growing up was kind of your celebrity crush?
Yeah. I guess the one that just came to the top of my head would probably be Jennifer Aniston. You know, growing up and watching the show Friends, that my mom loved that show too, so it was always running. It was always running in our house. So I'll give Jennifer the shout out.
That's a perfect answer. Now let's say you're going to be going to an island for a whole year. Okay, now again, you don't have streaming, nothing, man. I know it's ironic considering, you know, who you are, but you got to go there, and you do have a DVD player. So what? And an album player, you know, a record player. What album and what DVD are you going to bring with you?
Man, one DVD. Man, that is tough. Because that's a movie that you got to watch over and over again. You know what? I'm just going to throw it out there. Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. That's a good one.
You know, the aficionados of Star Wars, you know, a lot of people say that was the best of the original three. All right, cool, cool. Now, what album would you want to bring? I know this is going to be kind of, it's either going to be really hard or really easy for you.
Yeah, this is, because I've never had to even think about a question like this. I'm going to go with Morgan Wallen's double album. There's a lot of great music in there. It's new, it's fresh, and there's a lot of bangers he's got in there. It's the first thing that comes to the top of my head.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so cool. Now, next question is, if you're going to be, from the time you get up to the time you put your head down on the pillow at night, what's the definition for you of a perfect day? Like, what are the component parts of a perfect day for you?
I would say good meals, healthy eating. I would say making sure, whether it's, you know, writing a cool song, or, you know, making sure that I got to spend time in the studio, or, you know, I'm out there on stage playing for hundreds of people and meeting fans and stuff. I think a big thing for me too is always getting a great workout in. Workouts are huge to me. I'm really big into, you know, physical health, but also mental health. It's a big thing for me. I think that going to the gym is not only just a physical thing for me, it is very much so a mental thing, and, you know, pushing boundaries and pushing yourself. So I would say those are some good things to touch on, and, you know, catching up with family and friends when I get a chance to, checking in and stuff.
All right, perfect, perfect. I like that. Now, last question though. If you were to jump in a DeLorean, you know, you can go back in time. I usually say to when you were 16, but it's not that long ago for you. So if you want to go back a little bit further to an important time in your life, you got like 2 minutes with yourself. What piece of advice are you going to give a younger you that you think is going to kind of get you on an even better track in life or make life a little bit easier for you?
You know what? I got a good answer for this. You're right where you're supposed to be. And I believe in that because in what I believe, everything is supposed to happen for a reason. And, you know, as kids and as parents want to protect their children, I believe that you have to learn from your own mistakes and you have to go through the highs and lows and to just grow as a human being. So I think that I would tell some cool stories, but I would just tell myself everything is going the way it's supposed to go. Just continue to believe and believe in that.
That's perfect, my friend. Perfect. Now, once again, the 717 tapes, volume one's been out. Volume two came out last week. I think Ride Lightning and Burn It Down. I think those are songs that were stuck in my head yesterday. I was moving around the house. It's like, I was literally humming your music. I was like, where's this coming from? Oh, shit, I was listening to a song a little while ago. I think that's kind of like the unspoken sign of a great song. It just kind of gets stuck in your head. You know, the melody or the hook or whatever have you got me. But man, I certainly appreciate you taking time out to sit down with me today, especially on your, where are you right now, by the way, as you're in the car moving about?
I'm in Georgia right now. I just got done playing Eddie's Attic, and then I'm playing in Rome, Georgia tomorrow night.
I envy you a little bit, man. Back in my radio days, look at the guys that I really enjoyed that came by the studio and hung out. I was like, man, I would love to be on tour just to do that one time. But much luck to you, my friend. Love your attitude. Love your music. Again, be safe, have fun, and I look forward to catching up with you sometime down the road, my friend.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Mark. Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, there you go. Warren Zeiters. What a cool story. Still wrapping my head around the idea he's only 22 years old. 300 million combined streams and views. Just such an unconventional way of getting people to check out your music. Proof right there, you can make some pretty cool things happen. Just grab an instrument, get after it. You never know what's going to happen. New album is called 717 Tapes. Warren is on tour. You want to find out more about what he's got going on? Check out his link through storyandcraftpod.com. I got all his social media links, TikTok, Instagram, his website, everything. So check him out. Get on Spotify. He's got a real cool thing going on. Really enjoyed his music. All right, that's it for this episode. Don't forget, once again, storyandcraftpod.com. You can go there. Shoot me a note if you would like. Sign up for the newsletter. Pretty much everything Story and Craft is at storyandcraftpod.com. Thank you very much. Really does mean a lot to me. I've been getting some cool messages. Love the idea that people are diving into the previous episodes and kind of getting into what the show is all about. Enjoy doing it for you, most certainly. Okay, until next time, I will be back with another episode soon right here on Story and Craft.
That's it for this episode of Story and Craft. Join Mark next week for more conversation right here on Story and Craft. Story and Craft is a presentation of Mark Preston Productions, LLC. Executive producer is Mark Preston. Associate producer is Zachary Holden. Please rate and review Story and Craft on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can subscribe to show updates and stay in the know. Just head to storyandcraftpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. I'm Emma Dillon. See you next time, and remember, keep telling your story. Come on.